Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Number 14, and you've reached Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show. And this is April 12th, a couple days before tax day. And we've got quite a lineup here with the following: The Bates Motel, The Returned, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., iZombie, Brim, Helix, and two episodes to wrap up The 12 Monkeys with the season finale. And of course, we know it's going into season two. So not to worry, things will be cleared up for the 12 Monkeys, in case you're wondering what the heck is going on. But yeah, we have a great lineup. They're also talking about that new Flash Arrow spinoff show. Rip Hunter and Hawk Girl are basically signed on to be two of the three new superheroes for that show. So more to come. The Flash Arrow spinoff is not called The Atom, and rightly so, because Ray Palmer slash Atom, played by Brandon Routh, is only going to be one of the characters on this team spinoff. So more news awaits on that. So without further ado, let's deal with the 12 Monkeys final two episodes. And it's been averaging about a 0.19, 0.20, with about 580,000 to 600-something thousand viewers. So with 12 Monkeys, episode 112, the penultimate episode before the season finale, called Paradox, basically Cole is back in 2015 and he's dying. And so Cassie meets a young Katarina Jones, and they had a very look-alike Katarina play the younger version of the older one back in 2043. And it was great because I believe they dubbed in her voice. So it was really cool. And Cole is having a seizure, and basically Aaron has talked through the procedure of giving him epinephrine, and he recovers. But then Aaron basically sells them out and tells, because he wants to protect Cassie more than anything else. So he tells the people that that are associated with the army of the 12 Monkeys. And so they come just right after Katarina is brought to Cassie, and they're able to seek out Matthew Cole, Cole's father in that timeline, and the young James Cole. And they reason that if Cole gets a sample of his younger version self, he can stop the dying, but unfortunately the side effect would be that he would remain locked into that time period. So basically Aaron tries to get Cass in the car at one point, and she hits his face, and Cassie comes back, and the people are there to retrieve Cole. Matthew gets shot, the father. They're able to escape Cassie, Kat, and the young James. And then Cole injects himself with the blood and causes an explosion, because you can't have both the younger version and the older version coexisting at the same time. And Cassie returns and finds Cole safe. And the boy is safe, too. He's brought into Child Protective Services. And he meets Jose there, and they become, well, until recently, lifelong friends. And Kat has decided to keep the child. But now Cole can't travel back to his own time. And meanwhile, there's intruders going to break into the facility. I did not count them at the time, but there's 12 of them. And they're blue-skinned and hooded. And basically, they're working with Deacon. So that's how the penultimate episode ends. Wow. And then we go into Arms of Mine, which is the season finale. And all hell breaks loose where Cole is beating up Aaron and wants to know who the people are that Aaron is working for. And Aaron then tells them that Mark Ridd is the key and that there's an operative there that is working in line. And the operative, of course, is Jose, who's working with them. And interestingly, Jennifer Goins is going off on her own as the new CEO of the company, and she delivers a crazy keynote address. And Paul and Cassie see her and finds out that Ramsey is the investor. And Ramsey is going to go to the place where the machine is in 2015 called the Raritan Computer Lab. And so while that is going on, back in 2043, Deacon and these 12 others, basically the army of the 12 monkeys, send these birds out of this 18-wheeler that go fly to the core and block the exhaust tube and cause the core to overheat, and the attack begins. And Deacon and the warriors enter the lab, but Katerina is there, the core reboots, and she has explosives and is ready to detonate the entire place unless she can get her people to a safe location. Meanwhile, Cole and Cassie go to the Raritan lab, and Ramsey is there. Basically, Cassie sees these red vines all over the lab, and she recalls walking through a red forest. Interestingly, the red vines or red ivy is also being transported into the future and growing on the chair in the Project Splinter facility. And then Cole holds Ramsey at gunpoint at one point, and Ramsey says he's going to kill 7 people all to save one, his son. And then Cassie comes in and thinks Ramsey is the witness. And Cole tells her to put the gun down, but she shoots Ramsey. And Ramsey gets shot, too, by one of his guards. And so she's bleeding internally. And Cole injects her so that she can make a safe jump into the future and puts her on the table, powers up the machine, and sends her into the future. And then Cole flees. But then he comes back for Ramsey and saves him. And meanwhile, we see that the woman, basically, that Ramsey has been working for, sees the army of the 12, and they're all babies. All 12 of them are babies. But then we have a flashback to the future with the 12 blue-skinned warriors. So these must be the army of the 12 monkeys. And Katerina is able to give the warrior leader the device, and so she stands down. But then Cassie shows up in the future, which is very interesting. And then Jennifer, it looks like, Jennifer Goins is boarding this plane, and it looks like she has these virus, the virus in these cases. So is she the one that's going to be releasing the virus? Is she the witness, which I always thought she was? And so it's to be continued. So now Cole is trapped in our timeline. Cassie seems like she's trapped in the future, 2043. So very, very, very interesting set of affairs there. Okay, this one brings us, because Once Upon a Time was not shown on Sunday night, so we can't review that show. But the following, Bates Motel and The Return, showed up for Monday night's lineup. So the following, episode 307, The Hunt. It reached its all-time series low, wow, from a 1.1 to a 0.9 with 2.95 million viewers. So what happens is Duncan Banks, who's the serial killer, is released by Strauss's preferred student, master student of law, who we still don't know the name of. And as this is going on, Joe Carroll's death warrant has been issued in 7 days' time. And we still don't know, even Joe doesn't tell Ryan who Strauss's master student is. So it looks like he's tying up all loose ends. So he's seeking out Luis, who made the passports for Strauss. And Hardy and Mike go to Luis's apartment, and they find all his friends are slain due to the student killing them. And the killer missed Luis can ID the mystery man. So Duncan is dispatched to deal with Luis. While Max is at Manatech, the computer company, the cyber company that was hacked to get into the FBI servers. And the student is there. And at one point, he bumps into Max, who's still hurting from her crap ribs. Meanwhile, Duncan slays Luis's girlfriend and knocks Luis out and is taken by him. And Luis shows Duncan the printers, the backups at the warehouse. Duncan torches everything and is ready to kill Luis, but is contacted by the student to do one more thing. So the student savagely kills Kent, basically at the Manatech facility, and basically Max finds him and the power goes off during this time. Meanwhile, Hardy tracks Luis down to the warehouse, fires at Duncan, arrests Luis, and Hardy chases after Duncan and gets fired in the chest. Fortunately, he's saved by the protective shield or vest that he has, but he fires point blank at Duncan and killing him. And then it looks like Luis was making one more passport for Duncan. And basically it's Tucker from the Manatech facility. And so the one who's running the place. And so it looks like he's trying to frame Tucker for the crime. And the student rejoins his family, his wife, and kids at the end. So, again, I like the master student, but I don't know. I like Ryan's complexity of character. And now Ryan is justified in terms of killing all these people. And he just killed people right and left to pursue Joe Carroll. But I guess the wind has gone out of the sails of the following. So my guess is it's not going to be back. For season four, I'd be very surprised at the ratings that it's pulling off. Sleepy Hollow, even at its worst, did what the following is doing at its best this season. So let's go to Bates Motel, episode 305, The Deal. And there was a 0.7 match with the week before with 1.76 million viewers. Someone forces Norma off the road, and she ends up in a field of cows. And the man comes back saying she's lucky she's not dead and says she has something that belongs to Bob Paris, who's the head of the Arcanum Club and drive, and he drives off. And meanwhile, Emma watches over Norman as he sleeps, and Norman says Caleb is staying at Dylan's farm, and he saw Dylan in the house and said he had to tell his mom. Well, of course he suffered from one of these blackouts, and he never told the mother about Caleb being there. And Norma is in the ER, and Dylan comes for her, and Dylan wants to give the flash drive to Romero. And Norma says no, she doesn't want to give it up because this is their bargaining chip. So Bob Paris tells Romero he wants the flash drive back and tells him to get it from Norma Bates at all costs. And Dylan tells Norman that she doesn't know about Caleb, but that he will tell Norma himself soon. And Caleb is frustrated, chops up a tree, starts to cry, and a neighbor offers him some whiskey and gives him some weed and wants Caleb to work for him. Meanwhile, Dylan's friend has opened up the flash drive, and Dylan learns it's a financial ledger, a business ledger, which has accounted for $15 million in illegal funds. And so Dylan tells Norma, she goes to Romero, and she wants to go to Bob Paris to get some favors for him. So she cries, and Romero holds her and basically says he'll go with her. So they see Paris, and this is great. She negotiates with him, wants a turn off to her hotel from the expressway, wants a pool there, and basically she will give him the flash drive back, and he says they will have a deal, and he's very impressed with Norma's negotiating skills. Meanwhile, Dylan and Norman wait for Norma, and then Dylan says Caleb is up at his farm and tells her Caleb wants to talk to her. And she walks out, starts packing, and she leaves, and Norman is very upset, and so that's how. the situation ends in the Bates Motel. But I just like how Norma just negotiates things. At one point, shrewd negotiator. At another, she's just as crazy as her son in terms of acting out. Okay, this brings us now to The Return, episode 105, Tony and Adam. And it received the same rating as previously, the previous week, 0.40, with 1.054 million viewers. My guess, it's going to come back just because it's holding the ratings. So 7 years ago, Tony has to find his sick brother, Adam, and finds him wearing a hoodie, and he's the one who actually stabbed Julie. So Tony knocks him out and then takes Adam away and buries him alive. Wow. So in the present day, the resurrected Adam is eating with Tony while Julie visits Lucy in the hospital, and she's still in critical condition, but she notices her wounds are the same as Julie's. Meanwhile, Rowan is mad at Tommy for spying on her, and Tommy tells her that Simon is dangerous. And Victor is still at the community center, and Peter, the leader there, is confronted by Victor, who says he killed his mom as well as himself. And the power shuts off, and Victor then disappears. And then Helen, the also one of the return that comes back, goes into the waters at one point and sees all these dead animals, these deer floating by. And the deer are pulled up by the cops, but there's no bullet wounds on them. So the deer just drowned. So they sense something is coming. And we find out through Helen, as she's talking to Victor, she knew Victor's mom and how they died, and his real name is Henry. And she says the town is cursed and that a flood happened to Caldwell, and that's the name of the town. That's the first time I've heard the name of the town mentioned, and 29 years ago, so it might be another flood is coming. And finally, Adam finds out that Tony killed him and punches him in the stomach. Meanwhile, Camille contacts Rowan and tells her she was talking to Simon and tells her that she needs to get ready to leave town and to meet Simon at the train station that night. Well, Simon waits for her. She never shows. She decides to go through with planning the wedding, and Tommy is very happy. Meanwhile, Camille is starting to do shots. She kisses Ben, the one that Lena likes. And as she does that, Lena awakens, puts on clothes, and leaves the hospital. She goes to the bar and slaps Camille and reveals that she's her sister, and then shows them her scar, the one that Camille had when basically her bus crashed. And while this is going on, Peter finds Henry and calls him by his real name. And meanwhile, Lena takes off and faints, and then Adam, who's tried to kill Julie, finds Lena. Oh, my God, can it get any worse for this poor girl? It's really a good series, so I would recommend any people that have not seen The Return to check it out. It's really good. Okay, the Tuesday night lineup is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and iZombie. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., episode 216, Afterlife, did pick up a little bit in the ratings. Still, not doing very good. But my guess is it's going to be picked up, and they're talking about another Marvel spinoff. So my guess is it's not Agent Carter, but we'll have more information because that spinoff will probably be shown in between the S.H.I.E.L.D. times when it goes on hiatus next year. And so Coulson and Hunter get a used car, a truck, and they go to the woods where Sky is, and they see on a video that the other Inhuman has taken her. Meanwhile, Sky wakes up after 2 days, and Gordon is there, and Sky's transitioner to the process is Lincoln. And we saw him on the Tomorrow People as John, so that's pretty good. So he's giving her acupuncture treatment. And Sky realizes she is in this place called the Afterlife. And Lincoln tells her people are there waiting to be changed, but that Sky already has. And Lincoln says Sky's transition is irreversible, and she can't be normal again. And then Sky displays her powers to Lincoln. Meanwhile, Gonzalez interrogates May, but May is still loyal to Coulson. And so Coulson invited S.H.I.E.L.D., the real S.H.I.E.L.D., to the safe house, the cabin, and they fortify themselves inside, and Shield uses a battering ram to get in. And Shield breaks into the safe house, and Coulson and Hunter are prepared, and they shoot them. And they put on the Shield outfits, but they're surrounded, and Coulson and Hunter are put into a jet, but their backup comes. And their backup is Cyborg agent Mike Peterson, and they defeat the agents and commandeer the jet. Meanwhile, Fitz is planning to leave the facility because he won't open the box for Gonzalez. I'm sorry. And then Gordon appears to Cal, Sky's father, who wants to be taken to Sky, but Gordon pushes him against the wall. They fight, and Gordon has the upper hand. And basically, he's not going to take them to Sky as long as he's emotionally upset. And then Sky finds out Reyna is there, who reveals herself, and then the woman interrupts them. It's Jayling. She calls herself Jayling, but it's actually Sky's mom. And basically, she's chosen to be Sky's guide to train her. And Jayling reveals herself to Kel and says Sky is their daughter. While this is going on, Fitz leaves, but Gemma gives him the box to try to open it. And then Gonzalez wants May on the board to be a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then Coulson finally decides they need to find Grant Ward. So himself, Hunter, and Peterson. So it's got a lot going for it, a lot of action this season. I just am not too sure of the plot line, which I think leaves a lot to be desired, but I do like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's gotten a facelift in terms of action. Meanwhile, on iZombie, episode 104, Live and Let Clive, which is a variation of Live and Let Die, it received a 0.7 match with 1.77 million viewers. Liv visits Major, her ex, and sees his new girlfriend is there, Corinne. And then Liv's brother visits her in the morgue. And Clive is caught in because there's a dead person with cut fingers. And Clive recognizes him as Sammy Wong. And Liv eats Sammy's brain and sees a bad Clive and finds out that Clive was suspended from Vice. And is he a dirty cop? But Clive visits them, and she wants to know why Liv was talking to his partner. And Clive tells her to stay out of the case. Meanwhile, Major comes to the morgue and wants to see if Robbie wants to move in with him. And they hit it off. And then Liv plants a tracking bug on Clive's car. And he says Ray is this undercover cop. And he was Clive's partner when he went undercover to take down the Blue Cobras. And Clive finds Ray, and they take down the bad guys. And one of the Blue Cobras, AJ, thinks Liv is a cop, and they fight. And Liv knows Kung Fu from Sammy, so she gets beaten up. And then Zombie's out hurting the guy, AJ. And Evan watches her brother and is shocked. And AJ is arrested. And the real reason Clive got out of Vice is that he didn't want to work anymore for them. So he was basically doing an undercover operation. So he wanted a fresh start. So now he's not a dirty cop after all. And then Ravi moves in with Major, and Major thinks Liv is still interested in him. So a little bit complex there, iZombie, but still a great show. So this then brings us to Grimm and Helix to round out the episodes this week. So on Grimm, episode 417, Hibernaculum, it did pick up in the ratings from a 1.0 to a 1.1 with 4.8 million viewers. So basically, let's play our Grimm Season 2 theme song. Wow, this was great. Side plot is Juliet is really coming unglued now that she's a Hexenbeast. She has sex with Reynard at one point, And then when Hank and Nick are at Rosalie's, Juliet sees Rosalie because she wants some help, and she changes into a hexen beast and leaves when she reveals it to everyone. And Rosalie still feels that she can help her out as much as possible. At one point, she tries to kill Adeline, too, using her psychic powers to smash a gargoyle down on her. But Adeline, fortunately, is able to escape. The real plot was really good this week, about a man's truck breaking down. He goes on foot, finds a house, actually freezing. He breaks in, bites the neck of the woman in Wesson form, and then he freezes her. So Nick, Hank, and Wu investigate. They find the woman's vehicle taken and her frozen body, and they talk to the woman's daughter. And they track the car. They set up a roadblock. Really good action in this one. The car takes off in the opposite direction, and basically the cops converge on him. He takes off into the woods. He vogues into the creature. They arrest him, and his name is Gunderson. And then when he's brought into the jail, he freezes to death. And so if that's going on, Sean Renard starts bleeding from the gunshot wounds again, and something tries to take him with claws, really nasty, and then Sean passes out. Meanwhile, Hank and Nick find Gunderson's truck, and they find fast food leftovers for three. So are there more like him? And then another man is walking down the road, freezing. He's picked up and attacks the woman, but she takes off, and he crawls away. And basically, he freezes too. So Nick and Hank, as I said, consult with Rosalie and Monroe, and they identify it as a varmatee, and the creature needs heat. And usually they go to a hibernaculum, a secluded place, where they hibernate. So, as I said, they find the next varmatee frozen on the road, and basically they're brothers. So a third one is still out there who attacks a cab driver, freezing him. Sven is a final brother, and apparently he's living at one of the Gunderson's relatives' place. And they go there, Hank, Nick, Wu, and Monroe. They find the place. It's cold inside, but they find a trap door to the basement, and it's hot down there. And there's a large number of these varmatees all wrapped around each other. So they're in a deep sleep, and they try to get Sven out, but all of them start waking up, and the cops flee, and they race to the barn, and they lock themselves in. A few get in. Hank and Nick fight them. Sven freezes to death, but then the whole horde comes in, but they start falling down, and they're all starting to freeze. So all of them are put back in the hibernaculum. So they saved them, and then they put Sven in the taxi that was in the barn, and basically to be identified later by the police, and he's all frozen at the end. So really good plot, I thought, for this show. And then, of course, we have Helix, and I did not see, the only thing I didn't need to play catch-up on is the Helix season finale, but I'm caught up with everything else, and this was the penultimate episode before the Helix finale, where it's averaged about a 0.15 to a 0.16, with anywhere from 520 to 500 watching it. So in The Ascendant, Peter and Anne start hacking up the dead that all got affected by the gas that the military or the Marines sprayed on them. So they're cutting up the bodies when they shower and make love. And Peter now has become Eli. He takes on a new name, the Ascendant, who assumes control of the Abbey. And he's found a higher calling. He wants Ilaria off the island, and he's also going to take care of the CDC by arming his people. And Kyle has recovered, but is warned Eli is going to kill him along with the others. So Kyle goes to Sarah, and she packs her baby in a case, and they leave, and they go up to the bell tower, but Sarah finds a crack in a tube holding the child. So Eli, meanwhile, kills Soren's mom for warning the CDC, and Soren, who's with Kyle, sees his mother killed, and Kyle will be Soren's family now. So he, Soren, and Sarah basically are together. Sarah at one point holds Anne at gunpoint because she wants the life support units. And Anne's foot is cut. So so that Sarah can find the life support units, and she takes one. There's also a birthing chamber where women are, and their throats have been cut, and Sarah is going to switch the unit. So Kyle tries contacting help via walkie-talkie and says he has a cure for the pathogen, but Ann hobbles back to Eli, so just as the chopper flies over, they send down a carrier for all of them, but Eli shoots the chopper, and it takes off. Meanwhile, Jules, as well as Alan, figures out the mother tree is at the Abbey based on the stars in this drawing that depicts the mother tree, because Michael was a cartographer, as well as everything else. And so Jules breaks through the floor in this auditorium because she figures that's where the tree is, and she discovers the roots of the mother tree. So Michael built the abbey over it, so the roots extend into the tunnels. And Jules sees the mother's fungus has leaked all over the chamber, and it's in the soil. So Ilaria can create plantings with the fungus. So instead of killing people, they can just make the people infertile. But Ellen holds her at gunpoint, and she draws her weapon, and then shooting is her. So all hell is breaking loose now in Helix. All right, well, we're done with the show. We ended 15 minutes earlier. We'll be back next week because Flash, Arrow, Supernatural, Once Upon a Time all come back, so we'll probably be in our 45-minute spot. So until next time, sleep tight. We'll be right back.